business. I just want y'all to just take a look around. It's like family. We back together. Yes. And it's the queen. We got Merle and Brother Cheryl in the house.
Hey y'all, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, we got a full house today.
Yes, we do.
Amen. That means God has been good and faithful, right?
Yeah.
So keep us. So we shouting out Mother Cheryl. So happy to see her.
Yeah.
But we got Brother Ed Johnson in the house with us this morning. What the only mother we missing today is Mother Marilyn, but that's all right. We know how she, you know. Well, 3 out of 4, we good. Amen.
Yeah.
So, just by way of some announcements, I do have a card here to read, and it says, "With special thanks, may the Lord reward you for all you have done." Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. "To my Running for Christ Ministries family, your thoughtfulness has been a real blessing. Thanks for all your prayers, cards, and kindness. Please continue to keep me in your prayers as I prepare for round 2 of more foot surgery and eye surgery. Much love, Keela and the boys." Amen. So we will do just that. Amen. So let's see. Monday, March 20th at 6 p.m. On Blog Talk Radio, we are going to conclude our class on 2 Peter. So read chapter 10 in the book, Growing in Grace and Knowledge. So tomorrow is going to be the last class. And we do want to encourage those who maybe didn't purchase the book or didn't read the book, didn't go through the class, to do so. Okay? Talked about the last days. We need to know what's up. Okay? And so we just want to say thank you to Pastor O for the insight for us at Run for Christ Ministries to become knowledgeable of who false teachers and preachers are and to be more informed of the end times. But we will also like to thank Deaconess Dr. Jude Rogers, amen, for setting aside the time out of her busy schedule to accept the invitation of teaching these important lessons over the last 10 weeks. And even during the time she was out of town to take care of family, and she was still on her job. So, Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, we appreciate you. Amen. Don't forget, every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Minister Richard Overall on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Every Wednesday, Bible class on Blog Talk this week. Keela Freeman, foot, eyes, surgery and all, teaching class. Amen. So she'll be teaching Ezekiel chapters 41 to 45. The questions are there in the yellow folder at the corner of the table. Don't forget, every Friday at 7, Deaconess Kathy has Bring Back the Family on Blog Talk. Saturdays, Pastor Janice Tate has her women's Bible class at 11:30. So if you want to get on with that, make sure to reach out to her. So Alexandria, raise your hand. Everybody turn around and look at Alex. Very good. All right, so Alex has a fundraiser at her high school. She attends Roosevelt High School. She is running track this year. What grade are you in?
Senior.
Very good. So we know this is a really important year. And it's a really important year for her. She's running track, and the school is in need of uniforms, transportation to the events, and equipment. Amen. So she is asking willing church members to donate $20 to this cause for her. Amen. So, those of you who are willing, dig deep. Skip your Starbucks. She's a senior. We know how essential it's really important for our seniors to be supported. Okay, so if you're willing to donate to this cause, please give her at least a donation of $20. Amen. All right. Don't forget that everything we do here and on Blog Talk Radio is recorded, archived, and free. You can get your whole Christian life together just by listening to Blog Talk Radio. If you want to pay your tithes and offerings, go to the church website, rfcm.org. If you need a job, go on there. If you need counseling, go on there. If you want to buy a book, go on there. If you want to hear services, go on there. Everything is on our church website, all right? The prayer list is going to come up when I'm done for altar call. Happy birthday to Pastor Jonathan on the 1st, Alana and Amir on the 7th, Daylynn on the 8th, James McClendon on the 10th, King Darius, we ain't gonna forget you, on the 17th, on the 17th, and Deaconess June Rogers will be celebrating her birthday on the 22nd, amen? And I'm still working on a really short but sweet devotional, so I'll be back with that, amen? That's it. Thank you.
Okay. It is time for offering. All this participation. So during this next song, while you're getting your envelopes together, the basket will be being passed. And as you're standing on your feet to make it easier and also to keep you exercising, because you know if you got a smartwatch, it tells you you need to stand up. Every so often, every so often. That's right. Stay on your feet while we sing this next song. Of course, she's doing good. Amen. We read Bible classes on Zoom. We got an house of prayer. We'll keep Brother Dwayne Norwood in prayer. Rayfield, of course, in June. June, how is Rayfield? Amen. And of course, Keila Freeman and Doris Gaither, we don't forget her, and Nicole, and definitely Baker River School District, and keep them in prayer. For their mercy towards us and God's goodness to us for them. You know, while we here, he wants to be a blessing.
Amen.
And he wants to use us to bless them.
Amen.
And of course, all school districts. I don't know how I feel. And of course, you don't forget our church, the Resurrection family members and friends. But again, this is a time where we go to the throne. We don't go listen to one person pray, but we all go together. Because we are encouraged by the scripture to come boldly to the throne of grace. Because of Jesus, we can come. So let us pray. Our Father, this morning, we are just grateful. We just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you've done so, so much for us.
Oh,
you,
thank you.
As the songwriter said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we've already come.
Oh,
yes. And we thank you because everything that's ahead of us, you've already seen it, you've already faced it, you've already prepared. All we have to do is walk into your will. Mm-hmm. So this morning, we say thank you for your provision, for your protection, for your sustaining us and keeping us, Lord. Lord, we know we have a list where we have brothers and sisters whose bodies aren't well. But we know you are the great physician. We know that you heal better than any doctor could ever heal. And that even right now you are bringing healing to the bodies of those who are even being treated by the doctors. Lord, we pray for their doctors as they minister to them, that they minister with wisdom, understanding, and compassion. Lord, we pray for our mothers and keep them before you. We're grateful this morning to see Mother Irma and Mother Persia and Mother Cheryl. We know she's been toiling to get here, and Lord, you made a way this morning. We don't forget Mother Marilyn this morning. We know what she goes through, Lord, but they are here to show us as examples of what women who love you do in every season of their life. So we thank you for them, Lord. We do pray a blessing on River Rouge School District and all school districts, Lord, as we know they are under a great attack. People don't want children to learn. And there is also a spirit realm that doesn't want people to learn, because if they can't learn, they won't know about you, and they can't learn and understand about you. But we thank you because your spirit is greater. Your word says, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. So, Lord, help us to be about your business, spreading the gospel, the good news about a king who's overcome the world. Lord, as we just go further, we ask that you just speak to us through your servant. We pray that we have ears to hear, minds to receive, hearts to understand, and feet to act on whatever is being taught to us today. Because we are so, so needed in a world that seems so dark and so cold. We need to be light and salt. So, Lord, we're just here presenting our bodies to you as living sacrifices this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
A family reunion, we have to remember that from the smallest one that we have, the youngest one to the oldest one, the attacks are out there on all of them. So, glad to be back home. No place like home. So, good morning. On behalf of the entire Runner for Christ Ministry family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome everyone here with us now and to the Blog Talk Radio family listening in. We are here live broadcasting from our temporary home at River Rouge High School. But know that wherever you are listening in, you are in church. That's because the Holy Spirit resides in you if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So church is wherever you are. Amen?
Amen.
So today, Pastor's going to continue on in his teaching in 1 Corinthians. This is part 6, and he's asked me to read several different verses from chapter 6. So I'll be reading verses 1 and 2, verse 9 to 11, verse 15 to 17, and verses 19 and 20. So all of those are from chapter 6. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, and I encourage you to read the entire chapter. I'll be reading just continuous, in a continuous flow. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things amongst yourselves? Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or who commit adultery, or who are male prostitutes, or who practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of this great mighty word. That's all y'all.
All right
here, and everyone listening. Those scriptures were sobering, but not in a bad way. Do you know how much money people spend to get good advice? When you consider the financial advisors, the relationship experts, the psychologists, nutritionalists, even sexologists, and all the other life coaches, it is not a stretch to say that billions of dollars are spent each year on advice. Yet some of that bought advice may be good, and some of it may be terrible. But here in our Bibles is the Word of God, where every single word is steeped in wisdom. This advice that Paul is offering is God-breathed, so it's sound advice. And it's free.
You know, sometimes when you get worldly advice, it may be good, but you just can't hear because the person making the delivery is a turnoff, right? Well, God even has an answer for that. God's representatives are in sync with God's message. In Jeremiah 3:15, the Lord declares that he will give us shepherds after his own heart who will guide us with knowledge and understanding. Won't he do it? Yeah. Did he do it?
Yes.
If you believe that God has sent Pastor O, a man after his own heart, then repeat this after me. Pastor O,
Pastor O,
break it down for us.
Break it down for us.
Amen.
Amen.
It just seems like I'm getting ready to dance or something, don't it? So it just seems like I'm getting ready to really throw. But not. Amen. Good to see everybody this morning.
Amen.
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 Amen. Everybody mouth work. I was like, Jesus, you done muted everybody? Amen. Got them on mute. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, thank you for giving us another opportunity to come together again in your house. You said in your own word that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which can become the custom of some of us. So we thank you, Father, for touching us this morning, as they say anthropomorphically, with the finger of love. And you woke us up and started us on our way. And you gave us a mind to get up and go to church today. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you always pay attention to us. And now, Lord, this is a word from you for us. It's a tough word, it's a tight word, but help us, Lord, to receive it, because you'll never say anything to us to hurt us. You'll never say anything to us other than things that will cause us to become who Jesus is working on us, according to Philippians 1:6, to become forever. So thank you, Father, for paying attention to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this people. Let the Holy Spirit fill me up now and speak. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
So it receives your word today.
Because I acknowledge you.
Because I acknowledge you.
My ways and thoughts.
My ways and thoughts.
They're not like yours.
They're not like yours.
But I'm here today.
But I'm here today.
To be transformed.
To be transformed.
To be made new.
To be made new.
So I can always know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will is for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pray for you, but I really pray for God's will for my life. Amen. I think that's a good thing if we pay attention to us.
Yeah.
Amen. Because if you get yourself together, like Jesus said, you get that big old giant hole out your eye, then you can see clearly enough to get the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Isn't it funny that people got a whole lot of stuff, like to talk to people who got a little bit of stuff? Amen. They got two problems. You got 1,000, but you want to fix their two problems, but you're just rolling with your 1,000. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been dealing with the book of Corinthians, and we've been dealing with a sermon series that's carrying us through parts of the Bible that churches most of the time don't go to. Amen? Because these are the teachings that teach us how to live the Christian life. The Lord told me to do something, so I'm going to do that right now. If you know you're saved and you gave your life to Jesus, raise your hand. Well, amen. Then you shouldn't get offended by anything you hear. Amen. Because you know Jesus loves you. You know Jesus ain't trying to get rid of you. You can't lose your salvation because you never purchased it.
Amen.
He bought it for you. He keeps you. He keeps us. Amen. So you cannot be lost.
Amen.
Yeah. So, but when we get into the epistles, they talk about different things than the gospels. You know, you don't hear about a whole lot of blind people getting their eyes open. Okay. These are people who supposedly their eyes are open. And now they need to know how to live the Christian life. We do it in the world, right? We send people to school. Why do we send them to school? So they can become productive citizens of America, right? And they can work along with everybody else and become a part of this giant cosmos that we just hear in America, right?
Yeah.
So God gives us his word that goes beyond the Gospels that get us saved so that we can learn to walk in our newness of life. Amen? And what Paul is dealing with here in the Corinthian church is a bunch of folks who've been saved for 5 years. I told you once, Dr. Tony Evans say, any Christian, amen, ought to be matured in 5 years. Doesn't mean they're perfect or reach their total goal, right? Jesus is still going to be working on them until they leave, but they shouldn't be babies no more. You know, we watched Anthony and bring his son up in here, right? I remember when I just told Anthony this morning, you don't have to carry me in no more, do you? Amen, because he used to come in carrying his son every Sunday in church, right? But now he's walking in here. But wouldn't it be funny if he was still carrying? Okay, he got legs, he's grown, he's as big as Isaiah, but Carmen's still carrying. He got to get a baby to Sharon because she got to carry Isaiah. No, Isaiah got legs and he walking. Amen? So God intends for us to not just stand at the door. You know, Jesus said what? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open up, I'll come in and we can fellowship together, right?
Yes.
He wants to move away from the door. Amen? Jesus called his disciples to him. And guess what? In Matthew chapter 5, it says, he sat down and began to teach them. And that's the problem that's plaguing the church today. We got a ton of gospel, okay? We know about the death, the burial, the resurrection according to the scriptures, right? But what do we know about after that? And most of the world is turned off by Christians because we don't seem to be any different than they are. We lie as much as they do. We gossip as much as they do. We cheat as much as they do. We steal as much as they do. Okay, there is no difference. There is no distinction. God raised up the children of Israel and said, you're going to be what? A peculiar people.
Yes.
Not like everybody else. And what did he mean by that? Is they knew him. And because they knew him, then they lived like him. They talked like him. They walked like him. And that makes them different from everybody on earth. The biggest mistake the children of Israel made was getting rid of the theocracy that they had. That means God was president of their country. He was their Senate. He was their House of Representatives. He was their leader. It's called a theocracy. But what they told Samuel is we want a God like all the other nations around us. Well, all the other nations around them, Crystal, didn't know God. So they wanted to be out from under God and up under a man. Amen? And that's called a monarchy. But they got rid of the theocracy. And so the church today is filled up. Yesterday, well, all this week, the Lord challenged me. He said, this week I want the Saturday worship service on Monday. He said, I want the Saturday worship service to be about salvation. So I just waited, June. I ain't rushed to look for no songs because we got like 400 songs or more. I just picked 4 songs from salvation. So, John, I started at the top. I got to the middle. I found one song that kind of said something about salvation. And then I kept scrolling and scrolling. I found another song. I found 4 songs in total that have to do with the gospel, that have to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what he did for us. I thank you, Aletris, for hooking me up with Wes Morgan. He's one of them. He paid it all. Okay, Johnny McClurkin, he's got one just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. But the rest of them are kind of gospel. They're mixed up. Okay, it's a message to those who are saved and to those who are not. But that's not true gospel. That's just mixed up doctrine. Okay, and that usually confuses people. Amen. So the church has become inspirational in nature. And then I went back through to see which songs were inspirational and which songs were had any kind of teaching in it. And 99% of the songs that we listen to by Christians are inspirational. They do not challenge us on any level. They just tell us, God gonna fix it. A million different ways, God gonna fix it. It doesn't matter how you live, God gonna fix it. Doesn't matter if you cuss a lot, God gonna fix it. Doesn't matter if you never go to church, never study the Bible, God gonna fix it. He'll fix it. Won't he do it? Won't he, will he? Will he, won't he? Won't he do it? Amen? Every kind of way. It's literally a song by Pastor Canton Jones that says, won't he, will he? Will he, won't he? Won't he do it? Amen? Amen. And that's what we want. We want a fix for our problems. When the people came running up to Jesus in the Gospels, what did they want? Did they say, Lord, we want to believe in the Savior? They won't fix it. They said, Lord, my daughter is at home sick with a devil. Fix it. My servant, my son at home, sick, can't get out the bed, can't get well, Darius. He's sick and can't get well. Fix it. Jesus, I got leprosy. If you will, you can heal me. Fix it. That's what we want. We're glad to know God because now all our problems are solved. And guess what? That's true. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all your problems are solved. But here's the caveat. Here's the catch 22. The answer, the solution is in the Bible. And it ain't in the Gospels. Amen. See, because we got problems that's not physical. Amen. Mental illness has come to the forefront today. Amen. So we have problems that are not mental. And we have that are not physical, and problems that are not material. You won't hear rich people praying the kind of prayers poor people pray. Because they don't have the same kinds of problems. And yet they do. Amen? Rich people find it hard to be happy. And that's why they live the despotic lives that they live. That's why you have people like Epstein trafficking in child pornography and bringing kids to these little private islands for grown rich men to sleep with. Amen. Won't solve them kinds of problems. I saw all the songs we sing won't solve that. You need a right relationship with Jesus. The problems the Corinthian church had, as Paul outlined in number one, is they were picking and choosing leaders. One leader over against another leader. Paul told them that. What I love about Paul is he don't just bring the problem up, but he also give you a solution. Amen. In chapter 1, he told them that there's no difference between me, Apollos, Paul, or Peter, or Jesus in that respect that we're down here preaching and teaching, right? All of us, and Jesus himself, lived by the Holy Spirit when he was here. Jesus did not just say and do what he wanted to do. Jesus said, the words that I speak are who? My Father. The works that I do with my hands are whose? My Father. It's to be the same way with us. So what Paul was saying to them is stop acting like kids and saying, that preacher better than another preacher, and I don't like your preaching because you like that preacher, I don't like you. This caused a division in the church. This weakened the church. You know how it is. If you got friends and suddenly somebody ain't a friend, you want your friends to not like them like you don't like them. And so the people who like Peter didn't want the people who like Peter to like Paul. And so there's division in the church. The devil does this to weaken the church, divide and conquer. So Paul tells them in chapter 2, if you think anything about us, think about the Holy Spirit, because he is the one who's giving us these words to say. He is the one that's giving us this wisdom that you're so impressed with. So if you're going to be impressed with somebody, it's not Peter, it's not Paul, it's not Apollos, okay? It's the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't know anything. I couldn't get up here and do this like I do it with. Ain't no notes on this podium. I do this because John chapter 14 verse 26 says that he, the Holy Spirit, will bring to your remembrance whatever I've commanded you. So if we get the word of God in us, remember when Janice was talking to us about the graphe? Mm-hmm. That's the written word. Mm-hmm. And then she talked about the Logos. Okay, this is when we get the word, we understand it, the illumination has happened. And now as we live out our lives, that graphe that we've read, okay, and put it in our heads, that Logos, we went to a Bible class, we sought out a commentary, somebody taught us what it meant, and now that we know what it means, now all we need to do is have it ready as a what? A rhema word. So we can put it into action when we need it. And that's what Paul is doing for these Corinthians. He's trying to teach them the graphe, the Bible, and he's trying to give them understanding, the Logos, so that when these situations pop up, they can employ the word. In chapter 2, he tells them it's the Holy Spirit. That's why we know what we know. We love to quote that verse. What is it? Y'all know it. Amen. Verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear have heard, no mind has imagined, amen, what God has in store for those that love him. But verse 10 says, but we know this. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. And everything that Jesus says to the Holy Spirit, he says to us. You'll find that in John 16, verses 12 through 15. In chapter 3, he points out that your immaturity is stopping you. It's halting you. It's holding you back. I can't even talk to you. See, a lot of churches, you can't go in. I went in a church one time, me and Deacon Charles Tate, he was with me. We went into a church one time, and I asked everybody in here, because they wanted me to teach from Romans chapter 10, but I had to go from Romans chapter 1 to 10 to get them to understand what 10 was about. And in the middle of that, I saw confused looking faces. And so I said, raise your hand if you've read the Bible from beginning to end. Deacon Tate raised his hand. Mary, he was the only one. And so this man who was a customer of ours, he raised his hand. The pastor didn't raise his hand. He was sitting right there. What? He was sitting right about where Mackie is. And he didn't raise his hand. So you suddenly see the position I was in.
Wow.
Yes, yeah, so they was gospeled up and having a hallelujah praise fest. But when it came time for the word, they was looking at them faces. Marissa made me like, okay, am I talking in another language? I'm the one to talking in tongues and don't know it. They wasn't getting it. So Paul tells them, look, you are immature. And I shouldn't be 5 years later, second letter to you, still talking about baby stuff. Amen?
Amen.
He's talking to them about baby stuff. Paul tells them the fact that you have these divisions about this person and that person and this person demonstrates that you are immature. Still infants in Christ. The only thing that will grow you up in Christ is the word of God. You cannot grow without food. Go ahead and live without food. I had a friend one time. We got into this vitamin kick. Okay, Dwayne Kent. Amen. Amen. He decided he wasn't going to eat food no more. He's just going to have water and vitamins. Amen. After he got out of Audi Drive, that ward up there where they put you when you lose it. He was eating Ram burgers again. Betty was hooking him up with the Ram burgers. He was back. Amen. I had a friend who led me to Christ. Well, was instrumental when I was led to Christ on introducing me to the church, because I didn't go to church. I just preached on Saturday. And he was real instrumental in helping me figure out how church worked, because church didn't look like the Bible to me, so I couldn't figure it out, Cheryl. It just didn't match. Okay, but he said, this is church. I'm like, yeah, well, whatever. So anyway, I'm growing in the Lord, and we separate. He moved away. Then he comes back. But he didn't come back a Christian, Ed. He came down the street with a white sheet on and a white turban on his head. And now he's a member of Yahweh Ben Yahweh's church. And Jesus lives in Florida and owns grocery stores, got arrested and put in jail. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, he was not deep in the word. And so he's like these Corinthians. And those kinds of actions demonstrate what can happen when you just get saved but don't take the word up. Amen. So he tells them what you need to do is learn how to build on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. See, because the gospel has already been preached. And we keep gospeling Christians. Amen. How you going to gospel a Christian? They already accepted Christ. Like the Gideon 300 I told you about. This is a group called the Gideon 300. I went to the gas station to gas up my Roadrunner, right? And these, I saw them harassing everybody who come up. And I'm over there praying, Jesus, please don't let them come over here. Please don't let them come over here, Jesus. They came. Amen. They want me to become a Gideon 300. I'm like, dude, I ain't even trying that. Okay, look, I'm saved. Go over there and talk to homie who you was worried. Okay, I'm already saved. Don't be trying to save me. We need to stop that. Y'all trying to save each other. It's easy to talk to a Christian about Christianity. Talk to somebody who's not saved about Christianity. Then you'll find out how what kind of servant you are for the Lord. Amen. How many souls can you bring to Christ in a week? That'll tell you what's up. How many souls can you teach who in Christ? That'll tell you what's up. That'll talk to you about your maturity. If you're still just looking for a word, I need a word, Pastor. But you ain't giving no word to nobody. You ought to be on your job counseling people. People ought to be coming to you. Even though you don't have to be no biblical scholar, but you got that Holy Spirit, people ought to be coming to you. Now, they ain't going to come to Crystal because Crystal's going to be on her. You know how you do. Is you busy? Yeah. I'm going to pray for you. Amen. So Paul told him, look, you need to grow up. Learn how to build. Learn how to build with silver, gold, and precious stones. Those things amount to treasure in heaven for you when you leave here. Because everything you got, you're going to lose. I don't care what you attain or what kind of heights you attain here. When you leave here, you ain't taking it with you. Have you ever seen any trailers being pulled behind a hearse? I know this guy who got buried in his El Dorado. He was a pimp, and he got buried in his El Dorado. I bet they dug that boy up as soon as he left. Cleaned it off, Marcus, and went rolling. We riding this, buried people with tons of gold on them. You better stay there till Jesus comes. Amen. Because they're going to dig them right back up, strip them, and put them back in that hole. They can't. They charge you about $700 or $900 to let you watch them put them down in there. What make you think they dug that hole with the shovel the first time? What make you think they ain't gonna go back down there, get that gold, drop them back down, go get to the pawn shop and get paid? Or go home and tell their baby, baby, I love you, look what I got you. It got dirt on it, don't worry about that, baby. Amen. So Paul told him you need to grow up. In Acts chapter 4, he told him how you should respond, in chapter 4, he told them how to respond to us. We're just people called by God. Amen. We ain't no special, more special than you. If God can call a donkey to talk to a prophet, because the prophet was left, amen, then he can. That lets us know that God can use anybody or anything. Jesus said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Amen. So God can use anything. It's not about you. You ain't that special. God can raise up a dog to come in here and sing. God can raise up a cat to come in here and sit. And you know cats don't act right, never, right? He'll probably knock this off, but he'll if God wanted to, he'll preach. He'll be like, come on, somebody, say meow. Look at your neighbor and say meow. Amen. The cat sermon up in here. The point is, God can use anybody. Yes, we should love our leaders. We should respect our leaders, right? But always know this, it's God speaking through them. And so Paul says, that's how you should respond to us. Not try to pick one of us over against the other of us. Take all of us. Amen. Like the song say, why not take all of me? Amen. I think that's gospel. Or Funkadelic. Amen. It's one of them. Which one, Ollie? Is it Funkadelic? Why not take all? Oh, that's Funkadelic. That's Funkadelic. Yeah, that's Funkadelic. Amen. I'm telling you, they get mixed up. I listen to gospel, I listen to them. They're all up in here, right? Amen. In chapter 5, we come across a real unique problem. They so immature, this boy is sleeping with his mother. Right. Yes, very ill. Amen. He's sleeping with his mother. See, they come out of the Corinthian culture, though. And sex in the Corinthian culture was like through the roof. That's how they had church. Their church was filled up with men. You didn't have a whole bunch of women and no men. Now, they did have 1,000 temple priestesses. But we would call them prostitutes. And this is what Paul was talking about. What? Say you go and join yourself to a prostitute. See, what he is saying is they got a wife at home, but they use them to have children and to have kids to continue the family line. But when they want to worship, they go to church. And they go down there and sleep with the temple priestesses. Oh, they had temple priests, male and female prostitutes. In church. Amen. And again, that's why he has so many men in church. But today is a different story. But they don't see anything wrong with this. They've been saved for 5 years. Nothing wrong at all. Nobody's even talking about it. This boy, now they say the boy's mother may have, father may have died. And he married his stepmother. They say the father may have divorced her. He married his stepmother. Whatever the case is, one thing they were sure about is he was married to his mother. They was kicking it. And they're coming to church. Imagine that. I come in here with my mother. And we kissing. Yeah, and y'all don't even say, ugh. Y'all say, aw, they so in love. How immature are you when that does not bother you? Amen. Paul says you need to excommunicate, homie. Yeah, we talked about, that's where we left off last time, talking about excommunication. Jesus said, go to him. That'll destroy that process right there. Why? Because we talk behind people's back. We ain't going to their face and saying nothing. But Jesus says, go to them, tell them what's up, right? If they don't want to hear you, go get Tamika and Lisa or two other people, right? Take them with you. And if they don't hear all three of you, go tell the pastor. And then the pastor going to get with the deacons and the administrators and they're going to set up a church meeting. And then they're going to bring them before the church. If they don't hear the whole church, excommunicate them. Not out of the body of Christ as some denominations teach. You cannot kick a Christian out of the body of Christ once the Holy Spirit has baptized them into the body of Christ. But what he said was, treat them like you would the prodigal son. Let them run off. Okay, because the Lord got a leash on them. They saved. You cannot run off and stay lost. Right? The Lord got a leash on you. And sooner or later, you're going to get so far out, and you're going to push that button, and you're going to come right in, and you're coming right back in, okay? You're only going to get so far when Sheila and I go walking over there. These people had these little dogs on that thing. One minute, he run away off. Then when we come up close and click, he coming right back in. That's how you'll never get lost like that, amen? The Lord has a hold on you. You can be the lost coin. He's going to keep looking till he finds you. You can be the strayed away sheep. He's going to keep looking until you find him, put you on his shoulder, and bring you home, right? Amen? Or you can be the prodigal son. So he said, put this boy out of the fellowship, not out of the body of Christ. Why? Find 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, around verse 5. And read that. This is the second part of that story. Okay? Because they did what Paul said. They excommunicated homie. But they did it for a reason. They did it for a purpose. Paul said not treat him like he a heathen. But treat him like he is Amen. A brother in Christ who needs help. Okay? Did you find that?
Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5.
Yes.
I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me.
Okay, keep going.
Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by just encouragement. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him.
Because we are not what? Keep reading.
Oh. I wrote to you as I did to test you and see if you would fully comply with my instructions. When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes.
Amen. That's enough. What he is saying, that's the second part of what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. They literally did go through the process. They went to him. He wouldn't listen. They took two more witnesses so every word could be established. He still wouldn't listen. They brought it to the church. And that's the part that what Paul is writing about now. And when it came to the church followed Jesus and excommunicated him. Apparently, it worked. Why? Because now over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, they're saying, bring him back in. The purpose was not to kick him out the body of Christ, but out of the fellowship. And once he feels like the prodigal son, what did the prodigal son say? He came to his senses and he said, in my father's house, okay? The servants are hooked up, right? I'll just go back and become a servant. So he repented long before he got home. So when he got home, he didn't need to repent. Why? He was trying to repent. He was trying to tell his father, look, I did you wrong. I blowed all my money on prostitutes. I was throwing it up in the club. We was turned up. Then we couldn't turn up no more. Then my friends weren't my friends no more. And then I found out I'm in a crapped out area. I'm over here feeding pigs. I'm about to eat their food. And then he came to his senses. And when he came to his senses, he said, isn't that wonderful? That when we come to our senses, we can 1 John 1:9 and say, I've sinned. And that's it. That's all we have to do. When he came back and told his father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, that was it. That's why his father, if you read that carefully, he didn't like, go get the ring. Oh, what'd you say? Yeah, that's nice. Go get the shoes. Because see, he wanted to come back a servant. But if you look at what the father put on him, we dressed him as a son. He came back the way he left, right? He came back better than the way he left, but he left a son. He came back a son. He came back into full fellowship. So that is what the Lord is saying. We use excommunication, not like some groups use it, to shun people, okay? But so that the Lord can allow the devil to have his way with them. And when the devil get through having his way with you, trust me, you're going to come to your senses. Amen. If I can come to my senses and join the same church 6 times, trust me, when he get to working on you, oh, Jesus went to work on me. Amen. He went to work on me. And it ain't even about that. We don't even talk about that. But he went to work on me. Trust me. Alicia's know, she, her and her sister, you know, also attached to their mom. You know, they know all my stuff. Amen. But their mom was very instrumental in helping me become who I am today. Because she wasn't scared of me. You know, I was super heathen, but she wasn't scared of me. she wasn't. She would just grab my, you know, and she grabbed me and come in here. I'm like, just come over to my house. Sit in my favorite spot on the couch and fuss at me. And I'm like, Jesus, ain't she supposed to be somewhere talking behind my back? What kind of person comes to your house in your face? That kind? The ones I seen? And then pinch me and all that stuff. And Sharon, did she teach you how to pinch? Oh, that's just a woman thing. Y'all just pinch. The point is, get back. Amen. The Lord don't want you to stay out there. But we cannot, he said, and now he listed some things over there. He said, I wrote to you in my first letter not to associate with these kinds of people who are doing these kinds of things. Okay? And then we all got kind of quiet. Why? Because we were like, okay, I do some of them things, amen? So, amen, and if we be honest with ourselves, exactly. If we be honest with ourselves, we can't even look in the mirror and say, oh, get out of the mirror, I can't be with you. Amen, if we just be honest, we're that messed up, right? But Paul said, hey, look, don't make it a habit of hanging with people who sin against God on the regular, who have made it a practice, who have made it a lifestyle. You're not helping them by saying, oh, you know, I still love you. And all. We do, yeah, but you're not helping somebody if you don't tell them what's right. I didn't like all the fluffy sermons. I really didn't. All of that stuff, because see, I knew I could get whatever I wanted. Right? All I had to do was do a little this, a little that, make a move here, make a move there, and then I got what I want, right? So getting Darius, like, I know what he's talking about. he saw that, hey man, what was that, Scarface? Make a move here, make a move, meal here, meal there, get that money together, we do what we do, right? Amen. Yeah, that was a religious movie, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, I thought they was trying to teach you not to sin. I watched it to the end. I said, I ain't doing that. Amen. So what he said was, look, this is a demonstration of immaturity. You know, iron sharpens iron, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Okay, hanging around with Christians who practice sin. It's a different than sinning and practicing sin. And then you have to know what sin is. We talked about this before. Sin is not something that you don't like. Sin is something God said don't do. You don't get to say what sin is and what sin ain't. You can't come up to me and tell me drag racing is wrong. Because I'm going to ask you to show me that in the Bible. And if you can't show me that, like people who say, I don't have to go to church. The church is in me. I say, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that. And I've been reading the Bible for years, but I can't find where Jesus told us we didn't have to go to church. Can you tell me where that scripture at? You know what they say, Lolo? It's not in the Bible. So who told you you had to go to church no more? Yeah. Suddenly they come to the realization that the devil told me that.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, the devil is a lie. Because Jesus said, forsake not the assembling of the of yourselves together, which is the custom. That means a practice of some of you. And y'all know that scripture told me up, right? I forsook the assembling of myself together with my brothers and sisters for 9 months out the year. Amen. So when I read that, I'm like, what is this talking about, Jesus? This is talking about assembling yourself together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm like, church? I don't do that. Amen. So I had a lot of problems. Right? All due to what? Spiritual immaturity. Then Paul comes to chapter 6. Now he's about to close out his conversation with them about the things that he heard from the house of Chloe. This lady named Chloe apparently went to the church in Corinth, may have even lived there. Saw all of this stuff going on in the church and wasn't nobody doing nothing about it. And so she decided, I need to go talk to Paul and let him know. And so the things from chapter 1 to 6 have to do with the things she told Paul. And Paul says, in my first letter I wrote to you. So these were things that they already knew, but they weren't putting it into practice. How many sermons have we heard and we put it into practice? We actually said, you know what, Jesus? Rather than just going to church today and hearing, singing, and hearing the sermon, then I'm going to put it into practice. Thou shalt not steal. I ain't going to steal no more, Jesus. Peter said, if you've been stealing, get a job. Learn to work with your hands so that you can have something to give to those who are in need.
Amen.
So the Bible calls for us to mature, to grow up, to not stay like you were when you first got saved. These people are 5 years old Christian, 5 year old Christians. But they're acting like Isaiah. Isaiah can act like Isaiah. Isaiah, like, what? What did I do? What did I do? He can act like, why? Because Isaiah is at that age. But if Deacon Tate started doing Isaiah, I'm going to be like, okay, y'all got a problem. Amen. Chairman of the deacon board and turn into a child. What it does is it causes churches to split up and have clique groups. In this church, they can't even settle lawsuits among themselves. The Lord says, your immaturity, you're going to court. You're dragging people into court with something that you should be able to go to your church and sell. Paul said, is there nobody among you who is wise enough to settle these disputes among you? You take this stuff, embarrass God in a courtroom. Amen? In front of unjust judges, judges that don't follow the Lord. And God says, that's an embarrassment to me, and it should be to you, that there's nobody wise enough that you two can go to and settle your dispute. So you go to the world, unsaved world, to settle your disputes. Paul is saying, God's going to use us to judge the world. Probably during the millennial reign, I don't know when, but God's going to use us to judge the world. It's even said there that we'll judge angels. And since God's going to use us in future times to do that, in these present times, shouldn't we have enough wisdom to judge between two people disputing over a thing? Yeah. Don't you know that God gave Israel 613 laws? 10 of those laws we call the Ten Commandments. The rest of those laws were tort laws. Okay, if you read every, I got a Bible at home that has all those laws listed, whether they're criminal, whether they're civil or tort laws, whatever they are, they're all listed in there. He gave them a way to fellowship with each other, to settle their disputes among each other. What are they gonna go, get a problem and go to the Amorites? Wasn't it Ahab who got in trouble when he tried to go to a foreign god to get a healing? And then this saying came out, is there no balm in Gilead? The Lord says, I can't heal no more. You have to go to a pagan nation that don't even have a real God to get a healing? Don't I heal? So the Lord is saying your immaturity is hurting you. You can't even settle disputes among yourself. And ain't none of the people in your church mature enough to get the two of you together and work that thing out. Now, some things are criminal in nature. That has to be adjudicated in the law, in the courts. Okay? But civil cases, Marcus in the parking lot, running the sharing, they telling each other, they fought. They bring that dispute to the pastor, to the pastors, to the deacons. Okay? And they get all the information they can, and they give a solution to that. Now they don't have to go to court. Okay? Insurance going to take care of what insurance takes care of, and any deductibles, then that person who caused the problem should have to pay that. So that this person over here suffers no loss and is not harmed. But in the Corinthian church, they were so immature, they couldn't settle their own cases. And Paul said, look at it like this. Y'all cheat each other all the time. So why don't you just suffer the loss? I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars my wife and I just let go. People would get in debt. Their bill would be $25, they didn't pay it. We do it again, it's $50. One guy told me, John, you know what he said? You're a preacher. Why don't you just cancel this debt? I said, well, you're a Christian. Why don't you pay your debt? And he said, man, you got my credit all messed up over $22. I said, well, all you got to do to fix it up, when my credit people called you, what did they say to you? They said, send the money, and they'll erase it. Well, there you go, homie. He said, $22? I said, take about 50 of y'all. Now it's $6,000. Okay, so to you it's $22. To me it's $6,000. So my man told you what you need to do. Well, He want $52. That's right, because he charged me 50% to collect from you, and I want all my money, so you paying him. We didn't like to get police for customers or Christians. Especially the Christians. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The answer machine say that. We really didn't want. We knew we wasn't getting paid. They too holy. They too holy. The preachers. No, we didn't. We had one preacher ever, and he just, no, we don't want no more preachers either. The holier you were, the more we were afraid we weren't going to get paid. See, because a Christian only will not pay you and say, we're brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hand me them keys to the car. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll bring it back. And you pay me. So we should learn to settle our disputes as Christians. One person is wrong and one person is right. Or sometimes it's mutual. We ran into each other. We neither one of us was looking. Well, then we know that. Christians should not go to court, get a lawyer, know they're guilty, and say, not guilty. Really? Really? Not guilty. We are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. But if that's what we look like, that's what we act like, that's what we show the world, we're not any better. Amen? And then he closed it out by talking about what he talked about in chapter 5, because the Corinthian church had a big problem with sex, like the world has today. Amen? God has a prescribed way for us to have sex. He gave it to us for a reason.
Amen?
Amen. God gave us sex to be shared between a husband and a wife. Amen? But we've turned it into whatever we want it to be. I didn't know about that. I had 3 kids before I turned 18, and then I had some more kids. I didn't know nothing about that. I was reading the Bible, but the Bible, I was reading the King James. I was reading the King James Version. And when it talked about sex, it used this word called fornication. And so I was telling people, thou shalt not fornicate. Amen. But I didn't know what it meant. And then Jesus, I got another Bible that changed the word fornication to premarital sex. I'm like, oh, snap. I'm in trouble. I told Jesus back in 77, I do that all the time, and I don't think I'm going to quit, so you got your work cut out for you. By August of 77, I was married. That's when I found out you don't get married for sex. Amen, or legal sex is what I called it. I just got married because I wanted to be able to have sex and not feel that weight that I felt after that one time. And God, this is so embarrassing. I fornicated. Praise the Lord. It was in the 70s. I fornicated.
Praise the Lord.
And then after I fornicated, you know, right after you fornicate, suddenly you can think real clear. So I was thinking real clear now. But I had to go to Bible class over in Mount Zion. I hadn't thought about that. And I was like, John, the Lord gonna kill me as soon as I get outside. I was a baby Christian. Stop, at least I was a baby Christian. I thought if you could hide, then he couldn't get you. So I had to get to church. So y'all know where Mount Zion is from my house on 15, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of shot out the back door, ran to the alley. I ain't see Jesus, but I had to get from my house all the way across Saliette to 14th Street. Jesus won't go down to Alley Street, right? So I get over there on 14th Street. It's an alley street. Should have been an alley, but it's a street. Jesus won't go down there. So I shot over there where Keith McDaniel and them used to live. And I look for Jesus. I ain't see no Jesus. Then I shot down 14th Street like I was running track. Hussein Bolton all the way to Mount Zion. I got there, got inside. Whew, I said, I made it. And then I thought, I got to go home. But maybe I'll get holy in here and Jesus won't get me. I was so mixed up. What was all of that? Spiritual immaturity. I had no idea. But later on, I found out after I kept reading, I kept studying, and I asked Jesus, I'm like, so the whole Bible is against me. Is any of this for me? He said, yeah, John 3:16. But the rest, like Latrice Jackson said, amen. Salvation is free, right? Jesus purchased it for us. But every step after that is going to cost you. And that's what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. Look, grow up. Okay, your immaturity is hurting you. It's not helping you. There are things God wants to do for you and through you that he can't do now. Why? Because as soon as he let the devil loose on you, as soon as the devil go get permission slips, and the Lord said, go ahead. You remember he got him on Job? What did he do? Made Job sick. He covered Job's body in boils and laid him on the ground. Okay, well, all Job could do is scrape. I preached a sermon, a eulogy one time, and it was simply entitled, All This. All This. And I talked about all this that happened to Job. But in all this, Job did not cuss God out. Job did not get mad with God. Job did not say something silly out of his mouth. Job said, the Lord give and the Lord take away. That's all he knew, right? What, shall we only receive good from the Lord and not evil? Job was a mature Christian. Job had, what Job knew, he had an oral tradition because he's a Genesis character. But he knew it. He made it a part of him. And it's a good thing that he was mature. Because when the devil showed up, and God allowed the devil to kill all 10 of his kids, in one day to strip him of all his wealth, to destroy his social standing in the community. And even his wife thought that you are so bad off, you need to curse God so he can kill you and you get out of this. But in all this, Job didn't curse God. In all this, his mouth didn't say nothing stupid about God. He just kept going. And it's a good thing he did, but his maturity held him up. And that's why God wants us to be mature. Because Satan goes about and he's still doing it like a roving lion, looking for weak Christians. And when he sees a Christian who should be in a place, but they're not, he's going to go to God because he can't do nothing to you without permission. That's why the Lord gave us the book of Job to show us how this thing works. It starts in heaven. It manifests itself on earth. What started in heaven between God and Job manifested itself on earth in Job's life and his family's life and his friend's life. But because Job was spiritually mature and said stuff like, even though skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'm going to see God. Those kinds of things come from faith. And faith is knowing what God said and doing it. Nothing else is faith. Knowing what God said is not faith. Mm-hmm. Knowing what God said and doing it is faith. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
So Paul tells them, look, you are bought at a price. You're not your own. Jesus Christ, with his blood on that cross, purchased you. You're his. You belong to him. So you cannot just do whatever you want to do, go wherever you want to go, whenever you want to go. Jesus is your Lord now. So just like children ask their parents, can I go? You need to ask Jesus, can you go? Sheila and I go to Mackinac when Jesus say we can go to Mackinac. Sheila and I do whatever it is we do when Jesus say we can do what we're going to do. He might say yes to something like, we're dealing with a vanity in the bathroom. He has said yes to it. But I don't know when I'm going to get around to it. But anyway, amen. But the answer is already yes. Oh, time's up. Amen. Amen. So grow up, brothers and sisters. Feed on the word of God and let it have its way with you. It's going to challenge you because it's different. It's different than we are. They don't think like we think. It doesn't want to do what we do. And it tells us the things we love the most not to do. But we have to learn to love Jesus more than we love pleasing ourselves. And when we start doing that, then we grow up. I mean, look at Peter in the garden. Told Jesus, I'm not going to deny you. Even if all these deny you, I'm not. I'm ride or die. Then he tried to cut somebody's ear off. Okay? And the last time that Peter denied Jesus, he was looking right in his face. So the next time you get ready to sin, amen, remember this. Jesus is looking right at you. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you for the first six chapters of the book of Corinthians. We see now, Father, that immaturity is not our friend. You gave us your word so that we might eat it and grow and strengthen ourselves. Because all through our lives, from time to time, the devil will seek permission slips to come and try anything that we've learned how to do for you. We might think, Jesus, that we have conquered this and got over that, and then he's going to go and say, if you let me go down there and do this or that, they'll curse you to your face. So, Lord, we pray that when the time comes, like Job, we'll be able to stand. We'll do what it tells us to do over in Ephesians. We'll put on the armor of God.
Yeah.
We'll keep on the breastplate. We'll keep the belt of truth on. We'll wear the helmet of salvation. And we'll always have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel that brings peace, not just to us, but peace between God and man. And we'll be ready to take up the sword. Jesus, we just thank you so much for giving us the ability to attack ourselves. And like you said, when we got all our armor on, then we've done everything it takes to stand. And then, Lord, when the attack comes, we pray that we'll be able to stand and get the victory. We thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to grow us up. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that any sins we commit, all we have to do is confess them. And then you take over instantly, and you forgive us, and you work with us patiently to cleanse us from every bit of unrighteousness. You love us just because you want to. And we love you because you love us first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 They've been waiting for the last 20 minutes.
Get scared, start running like you tend to. It's okay, we're safe. All right. need one more. We're going to get them there. Let us receive our benediction. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, both now and forever. Let all God's people say,
amen.